turn your Bibles with me to the first chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. God is ready to do some miraculous things, if we only ask for them. To see what God can do and is doing in the supernatural. That which the human eye cannot see in most instances. Except that through which comes through a broken heart. Or one with a contrite heart. Or a sincere heart. Why do I say that? Because God promises to be near the brokenhearted. For one, in the book of Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. And in the same book of Psalms, in chapter 51, verse 17, God says, I will not despise a contrite heart. And finally, the pathway to God, what the eye cannot see, but it's found through the pathway to God through a sincere heart, according to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 13. So some find God to be supernatural, and that which is the relates in order to the existence beyond the visible universe, the eye cannot see. But God gives us something to which we can relate to, and that is Christ, who came in the natural and made all things beautiful to us. And something we can relate to, something tangible. And that's good news. That's good news for our lives. Good news for our spirit and our soul. But there are times when bad news does come our way. Like the guy who had a checkup and went to his doctor to get the results, and the doctor said, sir, I'm sorry, I've got some bad news and I've got some worse news for you. He says, which do you want to hear first? The man was kind of perplexed. He said, well, I guess I'd rather hear the bad news first. The doctor says, well, you only have 24 hours to live. And the guy says, what? He jumped up from flabbergasted and started walking around the doctor's office, and he said, I can't possibly get my affairs in life in order that quickly. I can't believe this. This is incredible. What could possibly be worse than anything than that? I can't believe anything there's more worse news than that. The doctor said, well, the worst news is, I was supposed to tell you yesterday, but I forgot. So, you know, for the believer, though, or for the follower of Jesus Christ, life keeps getting on better and better and far better. Doesn't matter. But yet there's something more, there's something else that God has put in our hearts, something more that's far better than we can ever possibly imagine than that. And if you'll turn in the book of Philippians to chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, it says, Paul writes, for me to live, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. For I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better, or some versions say far better. And yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. To live as Christ is far better than what the Apostle Paul speaks of in Philippians verses 23 through 24, as we just read. It's his mission statement for life, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. But then he added, but if I am to live on in the flesh, it will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I should choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, living for Christ means our focus is on Christ. And that means having the presence of Christ in our lives, meaning favored by him with our love and his love. It means we have a future in Christ. And to live is Christ, and to die is gain, which is far better and much better to be with Christ forever. Paul said, my purpose in Christ is to magnify him in my life, to glorify him with all that I am, and to take as many heaven to people with me as I can. Because you see, in life, if you're a Christian, the best is yet to come. Your best isn't now here where you live at. Your best in life will be when you're with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Now, Paul was facing a problem, a pressure point in his life, and he said, I have a choice to make. He says, if I live for Christ, my purpose will be to introduce others to him. But if I die, I get to be with Christ right there immediately. And he said later in his epistles, when he wrote them, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he said, which one am I going to choose? It's almost as if he was saying, heads I win, tails I win. He said, if I live, it's Christ, but if I die, it's more of Christ. Paul was in the position in his life where he was willing to stay in order to do the will of God, but he was wanting to go. Now many of us, if we're honest, we're not quite there yet. We're willing to go, but yet we're really wanting to stay here. We like our families, we like the stuff we got. We're not that interested. We all want to go to heaven, but we just don't want to die to get there. I don't blame you. I don't really want to die either. Heard about three guys, and they were kind of older guys, and they were discussing what they wanted people to say at their funeral. One of the guys said, you know, I'd like them to say that I was a generous man. I gave a lot to civic organizations. I gave a lot to churches. I gave a lot of money away, and I'd like them to kind of say that I was a generous guy. Second guy said, well, you know, I'd like them to say that I was a good family man. I did a lot with my church family. I did a lot with my home family, and I spent a lot of time with them, and I was just a good family man. I was very involved, so I would like to leave a legacy of that behind. And so the third guy was just kind of standing around, and the two kind of looked at him and said, well, what do you want to leave behind? And he kind of shrugged at him and said, well, I'll tell you what I'd like him to say at my funeral. I'd kind of like him to look at me and say, look, he's moving. So, you know, it's natural. We all want to kind of keep moving as long as we can, and that's good. But there's something far better than that. Now, you know, we all know death is ultimate. It's a fact that last time I checked, the death rate is 100%. It's a fact that we all die. And in fact, statistics tell us there's 250,000 people that die every day. And the last time I noticed, you know, there's people stepping out in eternity every day to face God. And that's why the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. It's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. We're all going to be accountable for what we do with our lives and the actions that we spend here on earth. And life is so short. The Bible says, it's like a brief candle. Candle in the wind. It's gone and it vanishes. Life is like that. Life, it's so important. It's like a vapor on a frosty morning, and you see it, it's gone. It just kind of vanishes, and it's precious. And life is just so precious just to live through it, just to walk through it without a purpose, and to just really going about life and just living it as a habit. And so I want to live my life. Even though maxed out at times, I still want to live my life to be used by Christ. So when He looks at me, He can use me as a tool as He will. I don't want to become some rusty tool in a toolbox. So when He picks me up, I'm stuck to the bottom of the drawer for lack of use. But I want to be used. And so, you know, sometimes we go through life through a habit sometimes. Just getting up, doing the same routine. And so I had to be reminded that week, last week, of a lesson. When I had the opportunity to pray for a mother and her dying child. You see, a mother had adopted a child who was receiving treatment for cancer. Neuroblastoma is a tumor that the child had in her abdomen. And she had been receiving treatment for some months, and the treatment just wasn't working. And the mother had adopted this child, 3 years old, and the mother was nurturing it and holding it. And I was on a media call last week, and the newspaper wanted to do the story over the mother and child. And so the child was about 3 years old, and so I was escorting the media photographer up to the hospital room. And they were doing a news story on the mother and child. And as we entered the room, the family exited the room, and I left the photographer in there with the mother and child. And I came back out, and I was kind of asking the nurse, what the full situation was here. And the nurse told me that she didn't really think that the child was going to make it through the full day. And because the treatments weren't working, and it was in the final stages. And the child was resting upon the mother. And the photographer went in there and took his pictures. And so I went back in and I said, "You know, I work here." And I said, I'm also a pastor." And I asked if I could pray with her. And she said, "Sure, that'd be great." And so I prayed, I put my hand over her hand and the child's hand. And I said a prayer with them. And it was a prayer for peace and for inner healing and for restoration of spirit. And it was a calmness and for preparation and beyond. Because sometimes healing here on earth isn't the answer. Because our body desires to be with its maker according to Scripture. Romans 8:23 says, "We ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." And so it was a very calm and serene prayer. And as I left the room, and we left and walked down the stairs, the photographer's countenance was profoundly changed, and we were both humbled by the fact that we were both able to be in the presence of this mother and her child in the final moments. Mother calmly holding and comforting her sick child, facing it with confidence and the assurance of love, because love never fails. In the news article, the mother said that her daughter, Jayla, the child, her last words to her were, "It's going to be okay. Don't cry, Mama. It's going to be okay." And then the following morning at 7:45, Jayla left for this supernatural place called heaven, which is far better from here. A sobering moment that while we get caught up in life's busy moments, don't forget about those who are around you and what they're going through. Because let's remember to live our lives for the Lord and be something greater, something far greater. Because when others look at you, let them see the hope that resides in you. Don't let them see despair. Let them see that we're children of the one who gives us something far better than what we have. And while I'm living, I'm praying, and I'm seeking something far better, far greater that's within me. And Jesus said, "When you pray, pray, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And even the earlier Christians prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus," for they desired to see heaven. Heaven is a place that is desired and to be cherished. You know, it could be that times are so good for many of us here that we just don't long for heaven anymore. We're so content with the here and now that we don't cherish the promise of God that He's given us. And yet we're told in Scripture that we should spend our lives seeking heaven. That's our promise. That's our gift. We should be heaven-hearted, embracing eternity now and living for the future now. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, we're told to set our affections on things above, not below, but on things above. The Christian is always to be marching onward and upward, marching to Zion. But so it's so unfortunate that some never even consider or cherish the hope and the heart of heaven. And even more, it's sad that when people aren't prepared for death and people go on about their lives not even preparing for it. But yet Jesus Christ delivers us from the power of death and its penalty of sin, even the fear of dying. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter, when he speaks of the risen Christ, how Christ has died and rose again. And this is the gospel, by the way, that Jesus died and was buried and rose on the third day. And this is the result of the resurrection, how we can have that power of the risen Christ and the hope and future in Him. But what I don't want you to hear Paul say when he talks about to live as Christ and to die as gain, what I don't want you to hear him say is Paul saying, well, I'm just ready to go. It's not what Paul was saying. Paul was experiencing life to its fullest. He was enjoying life. He was committed to telling the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody he could. So in the matter of the Christian, it's not just looking for an exit strategy out of this world, out of the hard times of life. We're not just to have this, ho-hum, come and get me, God, attitude that we face. We're to enjoy life. We're to experience life. And it's a wonderful living for Christ. We shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves or go around hanging our head because we're to be followers of Christ and we need to rejoice about that fact every day. And that's why this book of Philippians is so full of joy, so full of rejoicing when Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So for us, Paul who followed Christ, the prospect of heaven isn't just looking for an escape hatch out of this place, but it's rather knowing that life is full and it's complete in Christ and there's something far better. And Paul describes himself later in this book of Philippians as an athlete who's running and stretching forth towards that finish line, ready to break that tape. And he has this final kick as he's running hard as he can. And we're not going to go limping into heaven, breaking that tape, barely gasping for air with this attitude of, I finally made it, Jesus. I'm finally made it. But we're going to go leaping into heaven, running toward Jesus Christ and embracing Him because He's waiting for us. Maybe you just have the idea that heaven is just so far out there that you just can't even relate to it in your mind. But what we need to be doing in our lives is focusing on the eternity and the promise that God's given us, that heaven will be right here in our hearts. Now the fact is, heaven is there, and it's not here, but God has given heaven to us as a hope to keep it here in our hearts, and to keep it to us as a promise and a hope. Because I have the idea that if we were always given what we wanted, here and now, if every prayer was always answered, if every pain always went away, and if every problem was always solved, we would love this world and we wouldn't even care about what went on in the next. So God is always forever helping us to rise above this world and to set our hearts and affections and our attitude in the future and give us a hope. And to see Him in all of His glory and to share in His kingdom now and in heaven. And you're going to experience more in this next life that you could possibly ever imagine than ever longed for. God puts this longing in our hearts for eternity that you're made to live forever. And that's why you're never ever going to fully feel like you're at home here on earth. Because He just didn't make us and design us that way. We're disposable. We're not made to last forever. Yes, we can be healed. And by the way, we do believe in that here. So if you need healing, we believe in that here. We do believe in restoration. We do believe in getting renewed. But you know what? Even the people that Jesus healed while He was on earth, eventually died. So this place here on earth is not our home. Heaven is. So you may be going through trials and your finances may be in the tank, or there could be pain in your life and there can be difficulty, or you may be even facing the prospect of death. But if your focus is on the here and now and you're going to be totally defeated or totally discouraged and depressed, if everything that you're focusing is just on the here and now, when the hard time comes or when the bad times comes, and you're just living for the here and now, you're going to be so empty. That's why Paul said, to live for Christ, to die is gain. And if you're to fill in the blank with anything else, to live is what? If you're to say, to live is money, to live is my career, to live as my position, to live as power, to live as to be happy. If you were to fill anything else in that blank other than to say to live as Christ, then you cannot say to die as gain. Because if your focus is fame, your fame is going to pass away and be forgotten. If your focus is on just making money, then I have news for you. Someone else is going to someday divide up everything you have and redistribute it, probably to the family members you don't even like. And if your focus is on just being happy, I'm telling you, you don't know, and if you don't know Christ, there's no happiness in an eternity without Him. But to live for Christ, then you can face any struggle and any problem in life. And like one man said, if you have any why in your life, then you can endure any how. How did this thing happen to me? How on earth am I going to get through this? If you know the why of the purpose in your life, and that purpose is to live to Jesus Christ, then you can endure any circumstance in your life. And then you can know that you're going to heaven. In fact, 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And when you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you trust in Him, turning from your sin and enter into His life, you're born again under the living hope. And you're as sure as heaven as you're already there. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done and is doing in and through you. And heaven's not only a destination. It is a destination, of course. But it's also the motivation God gives us to press on and keep us going here on earth in our Christian life. That's why Paul said in verse 23 of our text today, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And so in verse 24 after that, he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. He was saying, really, folks, what I'm saying is, I'm ready to go, but if God chooses to keep me here, I'm going to serve you, the people, the church. He said, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing, what God wants me to, until He takes me home. But God says, I really have a desire to depart with Christ, because that's far better. Interesting word He uses to say depart. It's used later in the book of Timothy, when it says, the time of my departure is at hand. And it's also used in the New Testament in a variety of ways. And it really tells us how heaven is far better. But for one, it's used by saying to exchange it for a tent, for a mansion. One of the word pictures of depart here is a picture of a soldier striking up a tent, folding up the tent, and marching home to victory. And we're going to exchange our earthly tents for a mansion, a beautiful mansion, and that's far better. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so it's far better, you see, to have a mansion than to live in a tent. Another word here is a philosopher's word, to depart. Have you ever had a problem in your brain that you just can't figure it out? You're just trying to wrap your mind around it, and you just can't resolve it. You're throwing it around, and you're just trying, and all of a sudden, something happens and it pops and you just understand it and you have that eureka moment and you get it. And it happens. And so when we depart with Christ, that knot comes out and it's far better and all those questions will be answered in life. And so which is far better, so many of those questions we have in life will be answered. And the things that we can't comprehend, those things we can't understand or resolve, those things we will all know even as we are known. And we're going to expend an eternity discovering more and more. Because heaven is going to be in a great adventure of discovery. And I have a feeling that the most common phrase that you're going to hear, or the most common sound you're going to hear in heaven, is, aha, so that's what God was doing in my life. Aha, I get it now. So, one of those things is going to be great in understanding what God was doing. So a picture of departing also was used by farmers, where they would take the yoke off the animal and allow the beast of burden to rest at the end of the day, to lay it down. So heaven is by far better because we'll lay down the burdens of life, to gloriously rest in the presence of our Savior, and allow the sufferings of this present time to be transformed into glory. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more cancer. All of those things will pass away and be gone. No wonder Paul said it's far, far better to be with Christ. And of course, the ultimate reason is we're going to be with Him and we'll be transformed by faith into sight. And we're actually going to be able to see Jesus for who He is. 1 John chapter 3 tells us we will be like Him because we're going to be able to see Him as He is. So you see, going home really isn't leaving home. It's going home. And that's why we need to send our heart in advance, spending an eternity getting ready and cultivating a love and longing for heaven, because it'll make you longing for heaven, because it'll make you a better Christian. It'll make you a better man. It'll make you a better woman. It'll make you a better father. It'll make you a better mother. It'll make you a better teen. It'll make you a better student. Because like the great author C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, said, "The people who do the most in this world are those who think about the most about the world to come." And we know the urgency of emergency of our time, especially if you've been listening in the news. Earthquakes. We're kind of familiar with those, aren't we? Here in Oklahoma. Tremors. I don't know if I'm the only one that has cracks in my house. Wars. Rumors of wars. Terrorism. I'm sure we've heard about that. Sickness. Virus outbreaks. I'm sure you've seen the insert I put in your bulletin today. We've heard a lot about that this past week. And I just want you guys to be informed, other than what the media tells you. Moral decay in our society. Heard a lot about that one. So we know that time is short, and what we do is vital. And only one life lived, and that's going to be passed soon, and what was done for Christ will truly last. And we know that every painful experience in life and things that you may be going through as a Christian in your life and the setbacks you may be facing is just that. It's just a setback. But you'll be able to say, as the Apostle Paul did in Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time we're going through here now are not worthy compared to the glory that's to come. There's a line in an old spiritual song that says, "Everybody's talking about heaven, ain't going there." So if there's any sadness at all about heaven, it's the fact that someone today may miss out on the eternal joys of heaven, of living life how it's meant to be, now and forever, because people get so busy thinking about this life that they're not preparing for the next. They're not thinking about the supernatural, something that's far better. And it's amazing how much people spend thinking and trying to squeeze everything they can out of life and neglecting the next life. Working hard about getting into the right schools and getting involved with the right company and their careers and spending time planning their vacations and planning their retirement and planning the weekends, yet people don't plan for their future. Maybe you're wondering if there's any real happiness in the world. Well, I got news for you. There is. Heaven is real. I think they even made a movie about that, about a little boy that came back and said something about that. And the hope of heaven can be yours because God opens that door to you, to the Father's house, and He welcomes you. And you can live with confidence and certainty and the hope that He gives you and forever, because Christ did it by dying on the cross for you. And the power of His resurrection can renew your life if you'll accept Him with eternal life by turning from your sin and trusting in Him. Now, why did I tell this message to a bunch of people that are mainly believers today, who are probably Christians today, hopefully? There may be, maybe not. Maybe Christians here in their mind. Why did this sound like a message you hear at a funeral? Why do they always talk about heaven at only funerals? Well, some of you, quite frankly, have fallen for the bait and switch technique that the enemy's pulled on you. What do I mean by the bait and switch? When a child has its attention fixed on an object, they're transfixed to it, regardless. Have you ever noticed that? An old parenting trick, at least the one that I used to use, is something that to distract him with. used to use it on my daughters. In other words, if they had their mind on an expensive toy, I'd always try to get their mind off that and say, well, you can have that expensive toy maybe for Christmas, but right now you can have this one right here. It's on sale for 99 cents. The bait and switch. You can have this one now, but you got to wait for that one. And I think the enemy has done that to a lot of believers today. So that way it either does three things to me. It buys me more time, gives me a break, or usually costs me less as a parent. And so at the same time, it holds true with our desire and hope that holds true with us, because it's caused many believers to lose their desire. Some have walked away from Him and lose their purpose in life, and they've looked for happiness in the wrong places. And when it's all said and done, they found those pursuits to be empty and unproductive and unpleasurable in their heart. The enemy has baited you with the desires of your life here, and has caused you to take your eyes off of heaven, which is the prize, to keep you motivated for living the life of holiness, a true life of repentance. The bait and switch. That's why many of you, when talking about heaven today, have tried fighting off the distractions of your mind. Some of you with your body. Why? Because you've lost your desire. The most precious beginning of our existence that awaits us. Something far better. Why? Because we've stopped thinking in the supernatural. That enemy has won our affections to the world. Jesus was familiar with it. John 6:66, interesting numbers. Bible said that Jesus' disciples, not just believers, but Jesus has had many disciples. Lots of people loved His miracles, loved His doodads He was doing, His thingies that He was performing, His miracles, His wonders. But when He started talking about the business, getting down to the business, getting down to the dirty parts, getting down to the true aspects of what He was really all about, John 6:66 said, a multitude of disciples left Him. He was stuck with 12. And He turned towards those guys and said, You leaving too? And they just didn't understand. Well, today's a day to make that change. To ask Jesus to change your heart and your direction by yielding your life and giving your life unreservedly to Him. I mean, you look at the believers today who've lost their hope, who've made bad choices. Have you stuck your hope of heaven in the back of your cedar chest in your life only to pull it out when you're old like a snow globe and shake it up and look at it? And maybe to pull it out when you get melancholy and to say, heaven's so pretty, shake it up and then just stick it back in your cedar chest? There's only one choice you can make, and that's to focus your life on Christ and to keep heaven in your heart as that burning desire. And then the promise of eternal life will be yours to keep you going and to find that hope in life and that future far better. And today's that day to put heaven back on your mind and to make it far better for His glory than what it has been. And you can know the glory of that today, of the living Christ. So if you're in need of healing, wake up. Get out of that slumber. Step up, step forth, and receive it. Put that burning desire back there, and don't fall for the bait and switch. We have counselors here today that will be here to help you pray and to anoint you. I'll anoint you. We'll do anything, but step up. If you need to be restored, wake up out of your slumber. Wake up.
It's far better. It's far better. God may be calling you to serve. Get up off your mat. Quit sitting by the fountain waiting for something to happen. For 30 years, for 20 years. Get up off your mat. He's here for you. You may need to come today for a public confession, a baptism. Follow through with your commitment is all I'm saying. Just wake up and place that burning desire and start thinking that you have something far better in your life other than what has been. And rise up and wake up today as we sing. Please stand as we sing. Loves us with such love that He gives us a wonderful place for us to reside, wonderful healings He supplies us with, wonderful healings and wonderful restoration He gives us. And as sons and daughters, that is yours, just to reach out, to touch, and to be supplied with Him. Don't hold back. Don't hold back with something that is yours, especially if it has been freely supplied to you, sons and daughters of the King. Don't let the enemy fool you with the bait and switch for something that is so richly supplied to you. Don't let him fool you with this world, because he will. He will. He'll let you be tied down. He'll let you be weighted down. He'll let you make you hang your head low with the things that we do. But there's forgiveness, and there's repentance, and there's restoration freely available through Him. And it's so, so wonderful to experience that. It's so wonderful. And the things I've been talking about this morning should be illustrated to that to you. And it's not far away. Heaven will be. But the hope and restoration is here. It's here. You can lay your burdens down. You can lay your burdens down. Just don't let the enemy fool you. All I ask this year is that you wake up. Just wake up from what you've been in a slumber for and see the great and mighty things God has given you. Wake up, because it's great, great, great stuff that He has for you. Father, we just praise Your holy name. Help us to remember to keep heaven on our hearts as a motivator. Is something to walk forward to, keeping our affection set on You above. We pray in Your holy name to keep us safe this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.